Tired of the usual podcast advice? Our next guest offers a unique perspective. As the author of How to Be Unsuccessful in Podcasting, he's learned a lot about what not to do. Stay with us as we dive into his unconventional wisdom and discover how understanding failure can lead to success with Paul Granger, next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacey and Phil Thompson.
It's another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacey.
Steve, how are you today?
Doing good.
All right. Going to be another windy day here in the Old Pueblo.
It's a beautiful day in the Old Pueblo.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. Hey, I was looking at some pictures. I don't know how this came across, but our guest today is going to talk about podcasting, so we'll get to him in a moment. But I came across an old picture of you and I from, I think, 2010. We were actually doing this live, I think, at the one of the campuses that our church had at the time. Do you remember that?
The Twin Peaks campus?
And there was a picture of you and I sitting at a table. And I think we were doing it live, and my hair was a little bit darker and a little bit shorter. And you look exactly the same.
I don't know about that. But yes, we've been doing this a while. So that would have been, 15 years ago. Huh?
15 years ago. And actually, I remember the very first one we did, we sat in one of your empty bedrooms with a futon.
Yes.
We sat together on a futon. That was an incredibly awkward moment.
Yes.
But, was that live or did we just record that? We only had one camera, so
I think it was live.
We sat together.
That was before
this futon.
Podcasting got popular. So, yeah, I think it was just live. I think we live streamed it.
We were ahead of our time back then. And that was even before, I think, 2010. Okay, so let's talk about before we get to our guest. We do want to remind folks we have a webinar, surprisingly enough, and it is going to be live. It's going to be May 27th, and the webinar is called AI in the Church. Let me get my glasses on so I can read the actual title. AI in the Church and a Clear Guide for the Courageous, for the Curious, and the Courageous. A Clear Guide for the Curious and Courageous. What you will learn? Well, first of all, Jason Moore is our guest, and we've had him on the podcast. We've had him on webinars before. He's fantastic. He's very entertaining. He's a lot of fun. And if you watch it live, you'll get to ask him some questions, Q&A wise. But you're going to learn, you and I, and we're all going to learn how AI can streamline administrative tasks for your church, practical tips for crafting sermons with AI with live input from viewers via chat. Well, that's what Jason wants. Jason wants live input. There's of course the ethical considerations and biblical principles.
Before we went live here, I was just watching Kenny Jang's survey on AI, and it's very compelling. The trend is gaining steam. So, it's becoming more.
Kenny Jong is going to be our guest again one of these days on the podcast coming up pretty soon. So
that'll be
good. Sign up for the webinar, webinar.streamingchurch.tv, webinar.streamingchurch.tv. It happens 12 noon, May 27th. And if you can't make it, too bad. No, you can actually sign up and you'll get a copy, email. We'll send you an email. We'll send you a link or something after it's done. But really, you ought to come and enjoy it live. It'll only be about 35, 40 minutes maybe, and it'll be very entertaining. And you get, as I mentioned earlier, you get the live Q&A with Jason Moore. All righty. So today is episode number 474. That doesn't count all the ones we did back in 2008 or something. But today's guest is a fellow YWAMer. And he's an author and a content creator. He's best known for his latest book, How to Be Unsuccessful in Podcasting. He must have watched our podcast a few times to come up with that. But we'll get into that. Seriously, though, he challenges conventional metrics, the conventional metrics of success. And then he is also drawing from his talks on the podcast, Podcasting Made Simple. And also explores the whole idea about what is unsuccess? What is that redefining unsuccess? It can really lead to a greater value. I'm getting all mixed up here. So I do want to say this, that he does identify himself as an ambassador of Christ. And he is part of a ministry called Youth with a Mission, YWAM. He's in Virginia with East End Fellowship. And well, let's just get into it. So let's welcome Paul Granger to the Church Solutions Podcast. Paul, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be back with you guys. We were just trying to figure out how long ago it was, and we learned it was 3 years. But post-pandemic, three can feel like 30. Time makes no sense anymore. Yeah. And so here we are.
Great. Yeah, yeah. You're a returning guest, which is very rare. Most people never come back after the... No, I'm just kidding. I'm really getting down on ourselves. But before we ask you questions about podcasting, I'm really very interested in your take on this, because it's a little bit of a different take, I think. But we, I mentioned fellow YWAMer, and I mentioned YWAM. Very quickly, what is YWAM?
Yeah, so Youth with a Mission began in the 60s. Lauren and Darlene Cunningham... they knew they wanted to serve God through ministry. They had their ideas of what it looked like. But one day, Lauren had this dream about he could see the oceans and the waves. And he saw these young people just riding these waves into places all around the world. And he felt like what God was inviting he and Darlene to do was to come alongside, equip, and support young adults in going throughout the world to know God and make him known. And that was back in the 60s. And now there are YWAM locations pretty much in almost every country, probably at this point. Tens of thousands of YWAMers scattered throughout the world. And the one really unique thing about YWAMers is none of us get paid. We are all full-time volunteer ministry workers. And it works because God is provider. And so I've been serving with YWAM since 2019. And there are others who have been serving for decades and decades. And so it's really amazing the work that is being done. And I even hesitate to say the word work, because we can get focused on outcomes and projects. I think what I love about YWAM is YWAMers genuinely just want to love God and love others. And so if they're doing something successful, and then God says, hey, I want you to go ahead and stop doing that and do this thing that won't look successful, they want to strive to do it. And so it's such a unique way to operate. But as you've already noted, I'm not averse to being unsuccessful. So I fit right in.
Well, as I mentioned to you, you had me on your podcast. You need to have Steve on one of these days. But
let's do it, Steve.
I'm a former Youth with a Mission YWAMer, and I was in it in the mid-80s and actually went through their Bible college. Okay. All right. So Steve Lacy, why don't you tee things up here and ask Granger?
So I was, should I go YWAM? Should I go unsuccessful podcast? Let's see here. Let's go unsuccessful podcast. So you wrote a book, and the title of it is How to Be Unsuccessful in Podcasting. And one would think, I don't want to buy that book, right? What? Because I want to be successful. Podcasting is a very big... a big thing now. So what, tell us kind of the background. What's the book about? What's kind of the underlying thought process here?
Yeah. It almost sounds like I want to be unsuccessful in writing as well. And you know, the big thing is we will think in our minds that we want to be successful, but we're not always actually thinking about what that really means. One of the first stories I tell in the book is that old trope that you'll see, you know, in stories and movies of someone who is at the end of their life, they're on their deathbed and they're surrounded by family and they're thinking back over their lives and they're realizing they spent decades and decades and decades trying to be successful, trying to rise to the top in their job, in their field, trying to amass enough wealth for them to be happy and for their children and their children's children to be happy, like normal metrics, understandable metrics of success. But here they are on their deathbed and they're looking at the family surrounding them and realize, I spent so little time with them, right? It's that classic trope of someone at the end of life saying, oh man, I wish I had spent more time with my kids. I wish I had spent more time, dot, dot, dot. We don't actually really understand success when we're just focused in the moment, in the here and now. Because what drives us is what we feel like we need. What what is demanding our focus. But when we are at the end of the story, we can look back and see the full picture. And so the idea of success is already one that we're struggling with. But when you bring the faith element into it, we're talking about this guy named Jesus, who by so many metrics did not look successful. You need to get John chapter 6, verse 66. Jesus starts talking crazy stuff. And it says, from that point on, many of his disciples turned away and never followed him again. And then he goes on to lose even more disciples who stood on the outskirts or denied him or betrayed him and then dies. Right? Like, that's not successful. What people thought would be successful is if Jesus amassed a large following, which it looked like he was doing, and then took on the rulers, took on the Romans, and took back Jerusalem. Like, this is what success would have looked like. But Jesus understood reality far more deeply than anyone else. And so he was able to see, yes, the here and now, there are people that are struggling, people that are suffering, people that are longing for things. But my Father exists in eternity. And I understand what is eternal. And so I can contend with, wrestle with the here and now, while also having that greater mindset, let myself be unjustly killed, and then actual success will happen. Actual full life will happen. And so this is the framework for anyone that is serving with the church, serving with ministry, trying to do a faith-based podcast. That's part of the context. And so how do you meld this reality where unsuccessfulness can actually be success in a space where there are metrics? You have numbers of listeners and streams. You have what income is generated. And so when I wrote this book, it actually came from speaking three times at Podcasting Made Simple live events through Podmatch. And in each of those, it was funny because what a lot of people normally go to events like that to hear from is, hey, how can I get more listeners? How can I make more money? How can I become a number one podcast? And I'm like, I'm not the guy for that, because that's not why I do my podcast. That's not what drives me. And so in each of those spaces, what I wanted to do is figure out, how is it that I've continued to stay at the table? I've been doing my podcast since 2018. What's kept me at the table? And how can I come alongside others who, even if they're hearing the whispers of it's about the numbers, are actually there for another reason? They didn't start their podcast to make money. They started it for another reason. So how can we get back to the core of that?
So it's really looking at, looking beyond the obvious metrics that people have. So, but there's gonna be some underlying metrics too, right? That are really important that people don't recognize, mm-hmm. right? So what are some examples of what those, unsuccessful metrics look like?
Yeah. One of the first things that comes to my mind is when we're thinking about success on any level, sustainability is an important part of it. Doesn't matter how successful you are if you can't maintain that. And when we're driven towards something like money or numbers, we may shift how we function in order to gain those things. So we'll hear, oh, I've been doing my podcast in this certain way, but if I change it in this way or do it like this, I might get more listeners. And then, a month, 2 months, a year down the line, suddenly it's draining to us. We no longer enjoy it. So I think this underlying metric is, what is it that actually brings life? What is it that is actually life-giving for us? So for my podcast, one of the reasons it exists is to create a context, an authentic, accessible space to process the hard questions of life, to process who God is, to process who he's made us to be, to process what that means for today. And I realized that part of what God was inviting me to do was to not set a timer and just to be authentic in that space, to really actually have a conversation that just happens to be recorded. In fact, if at the end of it, the guest is like, thanks for the conversation, I don't want this to be made into an episode, then it won't be, right? Which is a very unsuccessful thing to do for a podcaster, especially if it's a good conversation. And I was told one time by someone, hey, these are 45 minutes, an hour, you had one that was over an hour. Like, you would get a lot more listeners if you could just cut it short. But because the value for me was not number of listeners, but was for that person who is on the other end of the mic to feel heard, to feel respected, to actually be able to process, I knew I couldn't do that. And so I've continued to keep along. And what I've been able to see is these metrics of moments where that individual says, oh, wow, like I didn't even plan on talking about that one story, or I've never told that story before, but I'm really glad I got to process it. Like that for me suddenly becomes a metric of success, because I know that this unconventional way of operating, this way that actually will cost me listeners, was meaningful to this person. And of course, there are other moments where somebody shares, man, this, you know, the way that this person was talking, I've never heard anybody explain it in that depth before. And that's how I feel. And so I'm so glad that they shared their story. Well, that could have happened in a 10-minute episode, but sometimes it takes somebody half an hour before they really get rolling, right? And so that's this underlying space is, it's not just about the numbers. It's not just about the money, but what really matters? And then how can I ensure that I'm tapping into that and watching for the ways that the value of that comes to the surface, that I can get those moments of affirmations, those little nuggets that say, yes, keep on doing it the way you're doing it, because this actually matters.
So what you're saying is we're pretty successful because we only have 5 listeners. And I'm being facetious, so I'm being funny. But honestly, I think what we do, I like what we do. And we've had a consultant tell us you should only have guests about streaming video, because that's your main deal, streaming video. And we tried to follow that pattern for a while. And I think was good advice in some ways. But I also like the idea that we're having people like you on. And we had somebody on the other week about Christians and finance. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've covered pretty much the whole gamut of ministry stuff. And I think that's a good resource for people listening. And I don't know, you know, how many listeners we have a large mailing list, but I don't really know all the analytics, but I would tend to agree with you, Paul. I think that's really a good way to look at it.
Yeah. And when you look at ultimately at the end of all of this, you know, scripture talks as though the here and now, like it's not that it doesn't matter, but there's so many scriptures that talk about it withering like grass and fading away and only certain things remain. I think when we strive to hold that eternal mindset, then those moments when certain metrics that we had hoped for aren't happening, we can find a little bit of peace in that. Because let's be honest, like for a lot of podcasters, when they do happen to look at the analytics and the analytics are not where they thought they would be, they can start asking questions like, why am I even doing this? Like, it's why am I spending these hours recording and editing if it's only impacting one person? But what we know is that scripture makes it clear that even that one person that has value, you know, there's the passage about the 100 sheep, right? And then that one goes off and gets lost, right? And when that is found, it says that the angels celebrate for that one, right? Or the one person that say the angels celebrate, like the one actually does matter. So the metrics for God, like we look at it as the 99 are more valuable. And it's not like God's saying the 99 don't matter, but he's saying, but don't underestimate the importance of that one. So if somebody is doing a podcast and they have 10 listeners, 5 listeners, 1 listener, is that unsuccessful? Or could it be that God wants you to be on the mic for that one person? Or what if you have no listeners? What if the whole point of the podcast is because God wanted you to commit every month or every week to sitting and processing with him? What if it was about you and God, right? So like, again, if we have this eternal mindset, we can step away from what things are supposed to look like, how they're supposed to be, to realize God is way more creative than we are. Ephesians 3:20, to him who's able to do immeasurably more, far exceedingly more than we could ask for or imagine. Whatever we're asking for and what we're doing, whatever we're imagining, God's like, that's nice. But I'm like, I'm over here with it. I'm doing something far different than what you expect. And so then the big question is not, should I be doing this? How should I be doing this? ... It's what step do I feel like God is inviting me to today? And how can I step into that? And if at the end of the day, we can say to the best of my ability, I tried to step towards God, then you were successful. Like you have achieved the most important metric of success, you step towards God. Doesn't matter if you did it right or did it well enough or this, that, or the other. A step towards God is a step towards God. And if it is in the form of a podcast or a book or preaching or whatever, if at the end of the day you can say it was a step towards God, if everyone hated what you put out there, God will still say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yeah. I'm seeing the parallels too. As you're going through this, I'm thinking there's pastors out there and there, this can really be applied, the same concept to your ministry, right? Because the way people look at success is, how am I growing? How many people are out there? How many people are listening to this message? And and sometimes you can hit it out of the park in those areas where you've got tons of people going, but there's no life change. You know, I don't know. I'm sure all of us have been to different services, and sometimes, a lot of times it's just, okay, maybe I wasn't in the right place. I didn't get really fed, you know, and sometimes just like, wow, this was so moving. You know, I know I go to my pastor, I said, this was so moving. And he looks at me like, that one, you know, I kind of, you know, that message, yeah. You know, it's just kind of weird because it just really struck me.
Yeah.
And it may not have reached everybody that he was, you know, preaching, teaching to. But it was, you know, I think that's kind of what you're getting at. That moved the needle, you know, if somebody responds, has an impact, they move on closer to God because of what you've done, then that's the measurement that you need to be focused on. It's really, I'm seeing the parallels to the pastors out there teaching sermons rather than they aren't into podcasting, but they are putting a message out every week.
It's definitely applicable, like throughout ministry, whatever ministry looks like. And what you were just describing, the Apostle Paul talks about it too. And I'm blanking on which of his letters, maybe it was 1 Corinthians, but he essentially says, you know, I did not come to you with eloquent words. I actually came to you with timidity because I didn't want your faith to rest in human wisdom and logic. I didn't want your faith to rest in how well I presented, how good a message I gave. I wanted it to rest in works of the Spirit so that your faith is in the Spirit and not in me. And if we're actually trying to be successful on a kingdom level, Scripture invites us to look like fools a lot, like a whole lot. And so we have to be willing for those moments where, like you said, the pastor's like, I did not think that was a good message at all. But there could be someone else that heard it and the Spirit spoke through certain words that were exactly what they needed to hear. But let's press it further. If we're really responding as God invites us to, sometimes God invites us to do things people won't like and it's actually successful. Let's look at the prophets. The prophets had clear words from God that they gave successfully, and they were not received so often. People actually hated to hear it. I served in a ministry for 5 or so years, and part of my role was to come alongside and support young adults who were coming to serve for a week or a summer or a year. And one of the things from the very start that I felt like God was inviting me to do was to actually create that authentic space with them, to actually sit and help them to process what God was doing and to challenge them at times. And there were a lot of times they did not want to sit with me. And I was so encouraged when a spiritual father of mine, Don Coleman, he was able to see what I needed to hear, which was, you are doing what God's inviting you to. They don't understand it and don't want it because it's pushing them into hard spaces. It's pushing them to confront things. And he's like, you need to keep on doing it. Keep on going. Keep on creating that space because they need someone to walk with them through those valleys. But people don't want to go into the valley. So sometimes you could be recording, preaching, sharing, doing exactly what God's inviting you to do. And it's actually being rejected by others. And everyone would look at that and say, that is not success. You should have reframed how you did that. You should stop doing that. And God's like, no, 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 no. You're on track. Keep on going. Peter rebuked Jesus, right? Like if there's someone who knew exactly what he was supposed to do, it was Jesus. And Peter knew that he was the Son of God. And yet he had the audacity after calling him the Son of God to say, you shall never go to Jerusalem. How dare you even think it? Like even Jesus was rebuked and seen as unsuccessful, but he did only what he saw his Father doing. And here we are shaping our lives around who he was and what he did. Success looks so different than we expect. And the more that we can have a mindset that lives into that key verse, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will follow. The more we can do that, the more we can release these unhealthy or limited understandings of success and find peace in the spaces that may seem unsuccessful, but are having eternal value.
We're already starting to run out of time, and I'm already violating something you just talked about as far as time. But
this would be more successful, Paul.
That's right. But without giving away your entire book, can you offer, and you probably already have offered a couple, but offer at least one more practical, unsuccessful strategy, that a podcaster could maybe implement today that might lead to some positive, unexpected results?
If you want to be successful in podcasting, then you need to make sure that you are finding successful guests, finding guests that are going to draw, that big name that's going to get people's eyes on you. Like, right. That's what we're told. That's what we expect. And what we don't think about is the converse of that, that there are guests that you shouldn't have, that there are people that you shouldn't include because they're not going to help out your podcast. And so what I would encourage people to do is if you are a Christ follower and your podcast has some faith Christ following element to it, what Jesus explicitly called us to do, and we see it in the Last Supper really explicitly, is to love others, to love others. And so that's one thing I would say is that above all, if you are a podcaster or if you're a pastor giving a sermon or, apply this however, you need to love the other person. And what that could mean is giving the mic space to somebody who might not bring much functional value to your podcast. Maybe they are long-winded and they spend an hour going down rabbit trails and you're like, oh my gosh, the editing that I'm going to have to do for this or that. Don't let those things be the thing that drives you. Let love be the primary thing that drives you. And then see what God can do from that.
So the challenge I have, or maybe you have an answer for this, is how do you measure these things? Because you want to know, these are the underlying metrics that are the true success, but they're really hard to measure. How do I measure those? How do I know whether I should keep going or maybe I need to pivot and go into something else?
Yeah. And even as you said that, I mean, because this still remains hard for me. Just because I wrote something doesn't mean that I've cracked the code. I still have moments where I'm like, God, I thought that if I did this, this is what it would look like, or this is where it would land, or this is. And what I actually, the question that came to my mind as you were talking is, I need to ask myself, why do I need it to be measured? Because I think what's happening for me in those moments is that if God can prove that this is valuable, then I can keep on staying at the table for him. Therefore, my willingness to follow God is based on an assurance that this is going to work out for me, which is not the metric that I see applied in scripture to people invited to follow God. I see plenty of people living by that, but the heroes of the faith that we celebrate are the ones that finally got to a place where they're like, you know what? Even if this means my ruin, even if I look like a fool, I have decided that following God is what I'm going to do. And so I say that while also being a human that lives in a human world where metrics do exist. And whether even if I'm not applying them to myself, somebody else might be. And so I have to live in that tension. Jesus lived in that tension every single day of his earthly life where he knew who he was at his core. He knew his father and he had people saying, hey, don't do that. Do this. Why are you doing that? Why? And he felt human emotions. And so we live in this tension. So I think in those spaces, maybe the answer is we just pause, take a breath, and just be honest with God. God, this is getting really hard. Or God, this is seeming fruitless. I know you can bring fruit, but if for some reason in your wisdom, you're deciding not to, give me a peace that defies understanding because I want to keep serving you and I see my limitations. And then we take another step.
So you just tried to answer a aerospace engineer's question about metrics. I'm sure he's really having a hard time with that. But I mean, it really does come down to hearing from God, right? Yeah. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right? I mean, is God telling you to do it or not, right? I mean, that's the way I would look at it. All right. Yeah. Sorry about that, Steve. All right. So we're done here. Well, at least for a while. But I do want to once again remind everybody the book is How to Be Unsuccessful in Podcasting. Paul Granger. Paul, how can people get a hold of you? How can people get the book?
Yeah. So the best way to do any of that is if you go to wheredidyouseegod.com and everything's there. I am not a big, I don't want to self-promote myself. But if something I'm doing can come alongside you, then I'm more welcome, I'm more than welcome to make myself available. And if someone wants to have a conversation and press into these things, you can reach me through that page as well. Because yeah, we're all striving to understand what it means to be Christ followers in this crazy world together. So we might as well do it together.
All right, one more time on the website.
Wheredidyouseegod.com.
All right, there we go. All right. This is awesome. This has been really good. It's just, I always enjoy, I mean, this is the second podcast we've done with you and you did one with me, but I always enjoy your thoughts and your ideas. Maybe it's the YWAM connection.
It must be, you know. Well, I enjoy you guys as well.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. All right. Well, look, we are done. We're out of time. So folks, if you missed any of that and you want to find out more stuff, just go to streamingchurch.tv. /podcast. We'll have this up probably in another week or so. And if we can help you with anything out there, folks, let us know if you want to see if you missed all that and you want us to point to Paul, give you connections with Paul Granger. We will do that. So with that in mind, we're out of time. But thank you, Paul. Thank you, Steve. My name is Phil Thompson. And most of all, thank you, folks, for spending some time with us today on the Church Solutions Podcast. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we will catch you on another episode.